Good evening, and thank you for joining tonight's telephone town hall meeting hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation and the High Performance Transportation Enterprise, or HPTE. My name is Roger, and I'll be your moderator tonight as we talk about the U.S. 36 Express Lane Project with Shannon Gifford, Transportation Commissioner and HPTE Board Member, Terry Ostrom, Vice President of Plenary Roads Denver, and the Mayor of Superior, Clint Folsom, as well as Megan Castle representing HPTE. We have called residents near U.S. 36 to discuss the proposed toll rates for Phase 2 of this project, as well as special event rates that will be implemented. We hope you will participate with us this evening. First, let me tell you how the call will work. We want this to be very interactive and informal, so if you are informational, not informal, so if you would like to ask our panel a question, please press star 3 on your telephone keypad and you'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some basic information. Once the operator notes your information, you'll be returned to the call and can listen to the conversation until it's your turn. When I call your name, please repeat your question for our live audience. Since our panel would like to hear from as many people as possible, we will limit all callers to just one question. We'll also be asking survey questions later during the call, and I will explain that process to you in a few minutes. So once again, please press star 3 to ask a question. Tonight, we start by having our panelists give you some brief information on the proposed rates for Phase 2 of this project, and then we would love to open it up for your questions. So star 3 if you'd like to ask a question, and we'll get you in line for when we're ready. Now let's turn the call over to Shannon Gifford. Shannon is a board member for HPTE. Shannon, would you introduce yourself, please, and get us started.
Thanks, Roger. We really appreciate everyone joining us tonight. My name is Shannon Gifford, and I'm a Transportation Commissioner and HPTE board member. So thank you for taking the time to listen and talk with us as we approach some very exciting milestones on US 36. We've been building the US 36 Express Lanes project since 2012. Drivers on that corridor have made it through the height of construction as the team rebuilt the highway, added express lanes, and tore down and rebuilt major bridges. Now Phase 1 is opening and functioning very well, and Phase 2 is coming closer to completion in early 2016. US 36 is a great example of CDOT's philosophy of building highways that incorporate choice. We know we can no longer build our way out of congestion unless we build smarter, which is what we've done on US 36. You can choose to take the new bus rapid transit system once it's open, to carpool, pay a toll, use the free general purpose lanes, or even ride your bike. We hope this project will become the model for other highways in Colorado as well as in other states. US 36 is the best example of innovation in managing traffic more efficiently, which is part of the new era of transportation for CDOT.
All right. Thank you very much, Shannon. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, press star 3 on your keypad, and we'll get you over to an operator and get you in line. Next, I'd like to call in Mayor Folsom. Mayor, please introduce yourself and talk more about what Phase 2 means to your community.
Thanks, Roger. I serve as the mayor of the Town of Superior, one of the communities served by the US 36 Express Lanes. We were excited when Phase 1 from Federal to 88th Street in Louisville, Superior opened this past summer, but we're even more excited for the completion of Phase 2 into Boulder, as it will truly open up travel options for our residents. In our backyard, we can see the progress on the McCaslin Bridge and its new diverging diamond. In the middle of this month, the traffic pattern on the McCaslin Bridge will change to the final traffic alignment. The diverging diamond is a new interchange design that improves vehicle movements onto the highway and drastically improves safety. We're also excited about the completing the bikeway into Boulder. Early 2016 will be a celebration in the Town of Superior as we enjoy more choice with the opening of Phase 2, along with RTD's new bus rapid transit service. We're here tonight to talk about tolls, but I wanted to remind everyone that this is just one of the many options offered on this highway, which is something we are very proud of.
All right, thank you, Mayor. Now we want to get to the focus of our discussion, which is the new proposed rates. Terry, can you please explain that piece for everyone?
Thanks, Roger. I'm Terry Ostrom, Vice President for Plenary Roads Denver. We are working in partnership with CDOT, HPTE, and RTD to build, provide maintenance for, and finance Phase 2 on this project. We are getting closer to opening the second phase of US 36 Express Lanes from 88th Street in Louisville, Superior to Table Mesa Foothills Parkway, which will open in early 2016. Tonight we want to discuss the proposed toll rates. These proposed toll rates have been approved by or have to be approved by CDOT and HPTE. Please always remember, drivers are never forced to pay a toll. There are always two free lanes in each direction. Toll rates vary with higher toll prices corresponding to the times when traffic volumes are the heaviest. Tolls are priced by traffic volume to ensure reliable travel times. Next, I'll give you some examples of the proposed Phase 2 toll rates, but at any time you can see the proposed rates at www.coloradohpte.com, where they are always posted. When Phase 2 opens, eastbound solo drivers traveling from Boulder to Denver who choose to use the express lanes with a pass will be charged $8.75 during a weekday morning peak time of 7:15 to 8:15 a.m. This is the highest cost time of the day because it is also the highest traffic volume period. Motorists that choose to not have a pass will pay more. License plate tolling is a toll plus a fee to cover administrative costs. That same Denver to Boulder trip during a morning weekday peak time is $16.28. Tolls are lower at other times of day. For example, the proposed toll is $1.75 to travel between Table Mesa and Boulder and Denver between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and all day on weekends. The tolls mentioned are for an entire trip from Boulder to Denver. If you travel within the corridor, tolls could be from 25 cents to around $4, depending on how far and at what time you travel.
All right. Thank you, Terry. Again, if you've just joined us, our focus is on the proposed toll rates for US 36 Phase 2. If you have a question, please press star 3. You'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some quick information and get you in the queue. So why don't we go to our first question from Austin? Go right ahead.
Yes, this is Austin Todd. My question was, my understanding is that if you want to use the express lane solely as a toll lane, you can get either sticker or transponder for free. And my question is, why isn't the same free sticker transponder available for somebody who just wants to use the toll lane or the express lane as an HOV lane? This is not purchasing the switchable transponder.
Hi, Austin. This is Megan. Thanks for your question. So we want everybody to have a pass in order to just pay a toll and to save money on every trip. The reason that we have different types of passes is that if you want to travel as a solo driver, you can use the sticker tag. If you want to travel as an HOV and travel for free, you need a switchable HOV transponder. It does cost $15, a one-time charge, and that cost is passed through to you. But that allows you to either travel as a toll or as an HOV for free, and that allows our tolling system to recognize that you are traveling as HOV and not charge you for it. Otherwise, you would be charged a license plate tolling, and we want you to be able to travel for free where there is HOV. Thank you.
All right, great. Let's go next to James. What's your question tonight?
In 12 states, single-occupancy zero-emission vehicles are allowed in the HOV lane at no cost. This is a wide variety of states, including Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Maryland, Nevada, New Jersey, North Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, and Virginia. And surveys have found that HOV access is one of the most popular incentives for the adoption of electric vehicles and zero-emission vehicles. In Colorado, we currently have 2,000 cars that are allowed to do this, but it's capped, and there's fewer than 10% turnover annually.
So, do you have a question?
Yes. Is Plenary Roads, every time an electric vehicle advocate talks to CDOT, they say that we can't expand this program because the contract with Plenary Roads makes it cost prohibitive. Is Plenary Roads' policy to prioritize profits over cleaner air for Colorado and keep this capped at 2,000 cars?
James, thanks for your question. Certainly, adopting alternative fuel vehicles was a great thing, and we currently have a program at the state. It is capped, and that is for hybrid programs. We are unable to expand that because we are looking at providing a reliable travel time, and so we need to be able to monitor the number of cars going through and whether they're HOV or whether they are paying a toll or they're transit, but we need to be able to have a reliable travel time. And so, therefore, as cars and technology is moving cleaner, we're not able to provide that for everybody that's driving.
Thanks, Megan. It really is a CDOT decision, not plenary. So thanks for clarifying that. Let's go next to Martin. Martin, you're up. What's your question?
Well, thank you. I think it's really preposterous that we're proposing people pay to drive on the highways when we already collect taxes through gasoline. And when CDOT mismanages the way we move our highways and traffic, which they've done for decades, then all of a sudden only the rich will be able to afford to have speedy access to our Denver metro area, and you're selling this program as if it's a benefit. And I don't know what it's going to take for the public to just finally say, no, enough is enough.
Shannon, you want to address that?
Well, I guess the summary of the question is does the tolling create a benefit only for the wealthy? And I would argue that it does not. That this gives choices so that there is a trip reliable trip option available when you need it, and that in addition, by funding additional capacity through tolls, which is the only sort of real source of revenue that we have at this point, you're taking some pressure off the general purpose lanes and allowing traffic to move more freely both in the general purpose lane and in the toll lane. So I think the succinct answer is a broader benefit than you seem to feel.
All right. Thank you. Great question so far. Again, if you have a question, press *3, and we'll get you in line. Before we take our next question from the audience, why don't we take our polling question, #1. It's really easy to participate. All you have to do is select the number on your keypad that corresponds with your response. Here is the question. U.S. 36 express lanes are all about choice. When phase 2 opens, the lanes will go from Boulder to Denver. How will you use U.S. 36? Press 1 if you plan to pay a toll to drive in the express lanes most of the time. Press 2 if you plan to carpool in the express lanes most of the time. Press 3 if you plan to use RTD's new bus rapid transit service that starts in January most of the time, or press 4 if you plan to use the general purpose lanes most of the time. Again, press 1 for express lanes driving, 2 for carpooling, 3 for RTD's bus rapid transit, and 4 if you plan to stay in the general purpose lanes. Please record your vote now, and I'll share the results with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we'll take another question. Again, as a reminder, press *3 on your keypad if you'd like to ask a question. Lisa is next. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Lisa Gomez. I take the Boulder every single day. It's the quickest way home. I have two parts. First of all, it costs, for me, a little too much to just take the express train, but even better is, what are you going to do about the speeds? Because right now, while it's open, 65 people are pushing you to go farther. They're tailgating, and you feel like you are driving 45. And then I look at the express lanes, and it seems to be no speed limit at all, and no one's taking care of that. So there's no way I would travel that express lane because it's even more dangerous than the other two lanes because there's no control over the speed anymore. What are we going to do about that?
Do you want to address Lisa's question, comment?
Thanks for the question, Lisa. This is Terry from Plenary. So Plenary hires the Colorado State Patrol to provide enforcement on the toll road or the managed lanes. And in addition, the town of Superior and Westminster still continue to patrol the road for safety. So there is enforcement out there, and the moving violations are a priority now because those are the most dangerous to the drivers. And we do have enforcement out there during all the peaks and generally during all the heavy traffic time that's paid for by plenary.
All right, here are the results of our first survey question. Again, the question was, U.S. 36 Express lanes are all about choice. When Phase 2 opens, the lanes will go from Boulder to Denver. How will you use U.S. 36? About 83% said general purpose lanes, and 8% said RTD's new BRT service. 6% said carpooling. That's terrific. We'll have a couple more questions later in the call. Thank you for participating. And, you know, one of the other topics, Terry, we wanted to talk about tonight was special event rates as well. So can you briefly explain that to our audience?
That's right, Roger. We're also proposing a special event rate for the U.S. 36 corridor. A special event is a sporting event, concert, performance, parade, or other event that could generate a lot of traffic. Special events typically happen in the off-peak times when the toll rates are low. In these situations, we propose a higher special event rate to help with reliable travel times for people who want to use the lanes, from carpoolers to toll to transit. For example, if you are going to a CU Boulder football game on a Saturday night from Denver, an off-peak trip from Denver on I-25 to Table Mesa would normally be $2.70. Because the game is a special event, it would be priced more like a weekday peak hour rate, or around $4.10 for drivers with a pass. Once traffic returns to normal, the normal toll rates would go back into effect. The special event tolling will not affect carpool drivers who use a switchable HOV transponder. This is one example, but if you want more detail and additional examples, please go to www.coloradohpte.com.
Thank you, Terry. Again, the website, coloradohpte.com. Lots of information there. Again, if you've just joined us, our focus tonight is the proposed toll rates for U.S. 36 Phase 2 and the special event rates that you just heard about. If you have a question, please press star 3 and you'll be transferred to an operator, and we'll get you in the queue. And we're going to go next to Mike. Go ahead, Mike. What's your question?
Some of the signage on 36 about HOV, the number of people that can ride in the HOV lane free is confusing to me. Is it a minimum of 3 people total, including the driver, or 2 people total?
Mike, this is Megan. Thanks for your question. So currently, to travel for free in HOV or carpool, you need your switchable HOV transponder in that HOV mode, and you need 2 or more passengers, so that's driver plus 1. And as of January 1st, 2017, that will go to 3, so that will be a driver plus 2 for all Colorado Express lanes where HOV is offered. There is the possibility that it could be triggered earlier if the reliable travel time is not met, then that would have to be reviewed, and a trigger could pull to move the HOV from 2 to 3 before 2017. Thank you.
All right, good question. Let's go next to Bev. Thanks for holding. What's your question?
Hi, I think my question was kind of answered in one of the other ones, but I will ask you something a little bit different right now. I'm confused about this general. Those are the roads that are there now without toll. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct, Bev. So there is one tolled express lane that's in addition to the 2 free general purpose lanes that are always there. Thank you.
That's a great question. I think people, we use terms sometimes that people are more transportation terms, so that's great. Let's go next to Gail. What's your question tonight, Gail?
Well, my question was that originally we referred to Highway 36 as the Denver-Boulder Turnpike, and if I recollect correctly, it was like 25 cents each way, and the toll didn't begin until Highway 121, also Wadsworth Bypass, into Boulder. And my question is, why will this highway never pay itself off and the toll booth and the transponders not be necessary? Besides the quick answer that I always hear is because then that'll maintain the road. I would think then our taxes on the road and our gasoline taxes that we pay and our road and bridges taxes that we pay would then maintain the road without any problem, especially with the increased population and the increased tax revenue that the state has had the last year.
That's a great question, Gail. I think that it gets complicated in terms of the messages that get out there, but that there are multiple reasons for tolling what we call the managed lanes, and only one of those is to actually fund the capital cost of construction. A second one, as you mentioned, is going towards maintenance, but a third reason to toll the managed lanes is to manage the traffic in those lanes so that we do have a reliable travel time in at least one lane in any direction. So there's a purpose here beyond simply paying for the capital cost of the roads and paying for maintenance. I would add that although we do pay gas taxes, they've been at the same rate since the early 90s, both at the state and federal level. And so although our population is going up, as our cars become more efficient and as inflation takes hold, the effect is that in real dollars we have less to spend on our roads now than we did many years ago. And so the focus at CDOT really is trying to simply maintain the infrastructure that we already have. And we do need to continue to look at other sources of revenue for capacity expansion, such as that we've just put in on US 36, and also for maintaining that new capacity. So I hope that's helpful.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go to our second survey question. Again, it's easy to participate. All you have to do is use your keypad on your telephone to enter the number of your response. So here's question number two. How often would you pay a toll to use the US 36 express lanes to get to a concert, event, or football game? Really the special events that Terry talked about earlier. Press 1 if you would pay a toll to use the express lanes every time. Press 2 if you would use them sometimes, depending on the event. Press 3 if you would use them only if traffic is really bad in the general purpose lanes. And press 4 if you would never pay a toll to use the express lanes for special events. So again, 1 for always, 2 for sometimes, depending on the event, 3 for only if traffic is really bad, and 4 if you would never pay a toll to use the express lanes. Again, record your vote now, and I'll share those results with you in a few minutes. While you're voting, we'll take another question. And again, don't forget, you can press star 3 on your keypad if you'd like to ask a question. We are next going to go to Bill. Bill, go ahead.
first a comment. All the strife over the pricing, and I understand how economics works, I think you guys could have saved yourself a lot of grief if you just started off with a price, let's say $3, and worked your way up when people realized that that wasn't enough and we had demand and it was not doing the job. But I think the same thing happened with 470, where you make the prices so expensive, no one uses it, and it kind of becomes somewhat of an albatross with how the city sort of sees it. But the question is, relating to the use of transponders, I still don't understand the need for the transponder when, if I have an account online like I do with E470, you'll know my license plate, you'll know I have an account. Why couldn't you just administer discounts or all the stuff without me having to have a device on my car that's semi-useful sometimes, and if I want to take a second car, I have to have for that car. It just seems like a lot more infrastructure than really is necessary, because you can all manage it through my license plate and my account, which is what you have to use anyway.
Terry, do you want to take that?
Yeah, thanks, Bill. That's a good question. I'll start with the first question, which is how we set the toll price initially. So what we did is a lot of traffic studies to see where the traffic comes from, and then sort of base the toll rates on what it takes to maintain generally a 45 mile an hour speed in the general or in the managed lane. And that's mandated by our contract, so it varies a bit along the highway, but sort of up at the west end, it's like 55, but generally 45 miles an hour. So we have to set the toll price such that it's high enough that we can recover the capital cost and that we spent to build the road, but also has to be low enough that we can encourage some people to use it. But price is the only mechanism we have to keep people out of the lane, and we have to sometimes keep people out of the lane so that the buses travel at least 45 miles an hour. The second part, license plate. The license plate transactions are significantly more expensive for us to deal with because it takes a human being to interrogate every single license plate transaction. So pursuant to some laws in the state, we can't charge a license plate unless we're 99.5% confident that we have the exact license plate. So every single license plate toll gets eyeballs on it, and it's a lot of people that are interrogating those. They cost a lot of money, so that's why the extra surcharge for license plate. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you, Terry. All right, here are the results of our latest survey question. Again, the question was, how often would you pay a toll to use the U.S. 36 express lanes to get to a concert event or football game? 33% said they would you would use it if traffic was really bad, and 9% said sometimes, depending on the event. Again, we thank you for participating, and we'll have another question in just a couple of minutes. And we're going to go next to Peter. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a C470 transponder, and again, continuing exactly what the previous caller was asking, why is it that that one cannot be used on the express lane? And my second part of the question is, if I have enough people in the car so we'll qualify for the HOV, how will the control system decides which one to use, and how will it recognize that I will have that I have two people in the car?
Peter, thank you. CDOT has worked to ensure that working with E470 and Express Toll, that one pass, an account with Express Toll, will work on Northwest Parkway, E470, and Colorado's Express Lanes. So if you have one sticker that works on E470, it will work on all the other Express Lanes and the toll roads. For your question regarding the traveling for free where HOV is allowed, you're going to need the switchable HOV transponder. And the reason that you need that, again, is so that the system knows that you're traveling for free. It sends a signal that can be picked up, and you are not charged a license plate toll. If you don't have this system, we are not able to see that you are traveling HOV. There's no way for the system to recognize that, so you would be billed. So to avoid that, we encourage you to get the switchable transponder. It is a $15 cost, but it's well worth it. Thank you.
All right. So for those of you who have joined us late, let me quickly update you. Good evening, and thank you for joining our call, hosted by the Colorado Department of Transportation and the High Performance Transportation Enterprise, also called HPTE. My name's Roger, and I'm your moderator tonight as we talk about the proposed toll and special event rates for US 36. Again, you can participate in the discussion by pressing *3 on your keypad. You'll be transferred to an operator who will take down some quick information and get you in the queue. So again, *3 to ask a question live with our audience. This also might be a good time to mention that if you need to leave the call early, we've got about 30 minutes left, so hopefully you'll stick around. But if you do need to leave the call early and want to leave us a comment or a question, you can press *9. So again, *3 to ask a question live and *9 to leave a voice message. Megan, before we take more calls, can you talk about the pass we have discussed tonight?
Sure. Thanks, Roger. If you're interested in Phase 2 of US 36, you probably have already driven on a portion of Phase 1 or maybe even I-25 express lanes. We want to remind everyone again that you always have a choice on the highway. You can bike, carpool, ride the bus, drive for free, or pay a toll. If you do choose to pay a toll, it's much, much easier, and you can save money every time with that express toll account and pass. So we encourage you to get one, which brings us to our next question for listeners. Roger?
All right, so let's ask our next polling question. Again, just use your keypad to register your vote. Here's the question. When do you think you can get, or where do you think you can get an express toll pass or switchable transponder for carpooling? That is a mouthful, I'm sorry. Where do you think you can get an express toll pass or switchable transponder for carpooling? Press 1 for visiting the E470 offices. Press 2 for request one by phone. Press 3 for order online. Press 4 for pickup at local store. And press 5 for all of the above. Please record your vote now, and I'll share the results with you in just a couple of minutes. And again, while you're voting, we'll take another question. And once again, press star 3 if you'd like to ask our panel a question. James, you're next. Go right ahead.
I just have a real quick question on how it affects motorcycle riders on the new HOV lanes through 36.
James, the motorcyclists are free to ride on US 36 express lanes and also I-25 express lanes, wherever HOV is offered. You will need an express toll account, and you will need a sticker, and that is, again, so that the tolling system can recognize you and realize that you are a motorcycle and not charge you as a car or another vehicle so that you can travel for free in those express lanes that offer HOV. Thank you.
Well, Megan, here's the results of our survey question. Again, we asked, where do you think you can get an express toll pass or switchable transponder? And by gosh, 62% said all of the above. Megan, it sounds like our listeners are pretty well informed. Do you have some additional information for folks on how and where they can get their own pass or transponder?
Yes, Roger. So first, you can create an account online at expresstoll.com. It only takes a couple minutes. Or you can call Express Toll Service Center at 303-537-3470 and talk with a representative. Again, that's 303-537-3470. And for drivers with an Express Toll Pass, the tolls are deducted from your prepaid account only when you use the express lanes. You won't pay extra fees with your Express Toll Pass, and you can use it on E470, Northwest Parkway, and the future express lanes and other express lanes in Colorado. In fact, by the end of this year, there will be express lanes opening on I-70 from Empire to Idaho Springs during peak period travel times. And next year, North I-25 from US 36 to 120th Avenue will open. You can order a switchable HOV, and HOV stands for High Occupancy Vehicle, but also means carpooling. Then you can order that type of pass if you want the option of traveling for free in the HOV express lanes as a carpooler or paying a toll for a reliable travel time. As long as your account is in good standing, you can use the HOV carpool function and travel for free. This switchable pass allows drivers to flip between paying for a toll in the lanes for convenience or riding for free when carpooling.
All right. That's helpful information. Thanks, Megan. Let's go next to Pam for a question. Go right ahead.
Good evening. Based on our first poll question where most people would not take the toll road or carpool, what will happen when if plenary doesn't make enough money because people aren't paying to use those lanes?
Thanks, Pam. This is Terry from Plenary. So Plenary took the risk to finance the capital improvements of US 36, and we have a significant amount of our own money. If people choose not to use the road, all of the equity that we invested in this project would be gone. So we would lose a lot of money. But the taxpayers don't lose anything. in that case, the highway reverts back to CDOT and HPTE, and they would continue to manage the road however they saw fit, but Plenary would lose all of their capital investment.
All right. We're going to go to Beverly next. You've been holding for quite a while. Go right ahead.
Okay. I just like to know, why is it residents in North Metro area, Lafayette, Louisville, and Boulder, have tolls on their highways, like the Northwest Parkway, Highway 36, but the residents in South Metro area, like on C-470, they don't have a toll? What is the difference? I mean, what makes them special that they don't have to pay?
Beverly, hi. This is Mayor Folsom from Superior. Thanks so much for the question. You know, it's a good question about tolls. The reality of funding highway improvements in the future really is going to revolve around tolls. So you're going to see this as different roadways are improved. So, you know, the Northwest area, I think we're actually going to be a leader on this new way of creating choice in roadway improvements. The improvements on 36 wouldn't have been done for many, many years were it not for for this unique public-private partnership that we've entered into. So it's a good question, but I think you will be, you know, seeing this in many more areas. So thanks again for the call.
And also, I wanted to add that there's going to be express lanes throughout the metro area. So we'll be looking at those coming on board for the C-470, again, I-70 Mountain from Empire to Idaho Springs, expanding north on I-25 up to 120th Avenue, and potentially also on I-70 East. Thank you.
All right, next is Rich. Go right ahead with your question.
Yeah, hi. I came in a little late, so I don't know if you already said this, but we're talking about the tolls. Can you go over what the tolls will be? And also the question regarding HOV, the answer started out where I thought I understood it, where you said one driver, two passengers, but then started talking about things changing in 2017, and you lost me there. Could you go over that again, please?
Rich, I will be happy to answer the question about HOV. So currently it is 2+ for HOV or carpoolers to travel for free. And so that's driver plus one. The Colorado's express lanes that offer HOV or free traveling for carpoolers will go to 3+. So that's driver plus two as of January 1st, 2017. There is the possibility it could go sooner than that on express lanes if we see that there's enough traffic that we're not getting reliable travel times for our transit obligations, for bus rapid transit, and also for those toll drivers and other carpoolers. So it's a possibility it could change, but it will change to 3+ as of January 1st, 2017.
And this is Terry from Plenary. So we did cover this earlier in the presentation, but the example we gave was the maximum toll rate if you had a pass from Boulder to Denver, and that rate happens between 7:15 and 8:15 in the mornings on weekdays, and that price is $8.75 with a pass. If you're going as a license plate toll, that's $16.28. And then we gave an example of during the low traffic periods where it's $1.75 for the same trip, and that's 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. during weekdays and all days on week or all the time on weekends. And if you want to see a comprehensive list of all the toll rates, you can go to www.coloradohpte.com.
Terry, thank you. Megan, thank you. Let's do our final polling question. And here it is again. Just use your phone to record your vote. What do you see as the biggest benefit to the express lanes? Press 1 if your answer is time savings. Press 2 if your answer is having a choice. Press 3 if your answer is less traffic in the general purpose lanes. Press 4 if all of the above, or press 5 if none of the above. Please again record your vote now, and I'll share the results of our last polling question with you in just a few minutes. And while you're voting, we'll go back to questions. And again, you still have a few minutes to get in line, so if you have a question, press star 3, and we'll try to get you on the call. Here's our next question from Caroline. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to know. I have one of those devices on my windshield, and I've used the express lane twice going to Denver. Then I get, I don't know if it was an email or something in the mail, if I want to look at my account, I need to type in or say my password. When do you get a password? I don't know how to get a password, so I can't check my account.
Thanks, Carol. It's Terry at Plenary. If you go to www.expresstoll.com,
Express Toll, all one word?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or there's a phone number, 303-537-3470. They can help you there.
All right. That was a great question. Again, that phone number, 303-537-3470. Here are the results of our last polling question. We asked, what do you see as the biggest benefit to using the express lanes? So 40% said none of the above, 33% said all of the above. Those that had a specific preference, 15% said save time. Thanks again for participating in all of our polls. We're going to go back to the questions and call upon Rick. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead. What's your question?
My question is concerning the 45-mile-an-hour express lane goal that is being discussed. In a traditional hectic, busy workday type time, the other two lanes will be blocking the exits to the various different exit points. So how do you not block the express lane and get off at your exit? Do you understand the question?
Yeah, Rick, this is Terry from Plenary. So there's a double white line that separates the managed lane from the general purpose lane. It's against the law in Colorado to cross a double white line. But then there's a skip line where there's exit points, and you have to merge. It's a simple merge
line. But if you're merging 45 miles an hour to effectively 0 miles an hour, what will happen is you will be ultimately blocking the express lane from moving in that speed.
Yeah, so it's still considered a moving violation, and the enforcement police who are out there will expect you to merge properly, and if you're in a lane that is stalled, to allow the express lane to merge. Thanks.
Good question. Let's take our next one from Drew. Go right ahead.
Hi, this is Drew. I'm wondering why I wasn't sent an email advising me of this teleconference well in advance so I could schedule around other events. And why also there isn't a dedicated web page to this that would have a blog on it for all of those people unaware of or unable to participate in this teleconference to try and make this more inclusive for the entire city.
Hi, Drew. This is Megan. So we've had a lot of media outreach getting to people. We actually have over 5,000 people on this call currently, so we're very happy that we've been able to reach out to get 5,000 people to join the call at some point in time. The Denver Post has covered this. We've also had TV coverage. But I do want to follow up on that. A link of this conversation will be available on ColoradoHPTE.com. Again, that's www.ColoradoHPTE.com, and you'll be able to go to the 36 corridor page, and you can look at a link, and you can listen to this. We can share it, and we will also we welcome you to sign up to get these emails to you. We send out media releases, and you could get an email telling you about any upcoming conversations that we're going to have. Thank you.
All right. Don, you've been waiting a few minutes. Go ahead with your question.
Yes. I've been driving the 36 corridor for well over 40 years. And my question is concerning inclement weather. I really don't plan on buying a transponder, nor do I have any intention of driving in the HOV lanes, as I'll be the only occupant of my vehicle. But when the weather gets bad and there's an accident in the general purpose lanes and we have to avoid them by driving into the HOV lanes, are we going to be issued a fee and it'll be arriving in the mail, or how are they going to handle all the traffic problems on the highway between the months of November and March?
Hi, Don. This is Terry from Plenary. So in the cases where either bad weather or a traffic accident or anything like that would block the general purpose lane and you would be forced to drive in the managed lane, we waive tolls during the time period where a first responder or a police officer would direct you into that lane. That has already happened a few times where we force people into that lane, and those tolls just get waived by Plenary. Thank you.
All right, next up is Dave. What's your question, Dave?
Yeah, I was wondering why the HOV lane or control lane is intermittent. It's always, you know, you drive it, says toll lane, and then you got the double white line or whatever you pull in there, and then it runs out somewhere and then starts up again, and you're still in the same lane. Why is it so intermittently?
Hi, Dave. Thanks for the question. This is Mayor Folsom from Superior. The reason for the dashed lines is so that people can get out of the managed lane and get off at their exit. And the double white lines are indicating that you should stay in the lane or out of the lane. You should not cross the solid white line, but the dashed line is where you would go out to get to your next exit. Thanks for the call.
Next up is Christine. Go right ahead.
Hi, I actually have a quick two questions. The first was in regards to the survey that you did. The second survey in which you asked people how many people would actually pay extra to go to a concert. Roger, I don't think you gave us the number of how many people said they would never pay extra to go to a concert or a special event. Do you remember that number? Hello?
I'll look it up here. Yep, we'll look it up. What's your question? Give us
the
a minute on that.
Question.
You also talked, you wanted to talk about rates. We can talk about that maybe, Terry, and I'll quickly look at the results.
Yes, that would be great. The second question, the main question I have is that I thought this teleconference was about the rates, and I have been told the rates, just like the citizens along 36 have been told about this partnership without any kind of feedback or discussion among the people who live here. So therefore, are we being told these rates, or is there a place for feedback? Is the feedback really a joke, or is the feedback going to actually be heard and considered?
Go ahead, Terry.
This is Terry with Plenary. So we are obligated to propose a toll rate, but Plenary doesn't get to set them. So we propose a toll rate to the HPT board, and then they decide whether or not they are going to allow us to use that toll rate. Those meetings are public meetings and open for comment. So if you wanted to comment, the HPT board would be appropriate.
And Christine, this is Megan. I just wanted to also add that we're doing these telephone town hall outreach right now to gather inputs such as from everyone on board. If you would like to let us know what you think, we want to know. We also can take that if you would like to send an email to HPTE. You can call, whatever's convenient, but definitely we're going to be taking this information and presenting it to the board for their consideration when they look at the proposed toll rates before they make a decision. Thank you.
Okay, next is Evelyn. Evelyn, go right ahead.
Hi there. I was wondering if you could tell me how the current revenues on the tollway compare with your projected revenues. And you mentioned how if the company doesn't make enough money, they will lose money. But I'm just wondering, you know, how's that going so far?
Hi, Evelyn. Thanks for the question. It's Terry from Plenary. So right now, the revenues are about in line with what our model projected. And those revenues are made public by HPTE in a report that we submit to them on a quarterly basis. So you could get that information, revenues, out of our quarterly reports to HPTE.
I also wanted to just add to that that this partnership with Plenary Roads and with HPTE and CDOT is a public-private partnership, bringing in the private partner to assume the toll risk. And that is a benefit to taxpayers. And as they mentioned, they will be taking the risk on collecting the revenue so that they can maintain the roads. And that is something that has been transferred to them, and that is a benefit for the public-private partnership. Thank you.
All right, next is a question from Chris. Go right ahead.
Yes, during inclement weather, I work for the city of Aurora, and I commute from Westminster. And in inclement weather, I know from experience in the past that the lane markings are, you know, obscured or just non-existent whenever there's significant snowfall. Am I going to get charged if I'm drifting in and out of the lane, you know, just trying to follow someone else's tire tracks? Am I going to get charged on that for when I'm commuting to and from work to maintain the snow removal equipment for the city of Aurora?
Chris, it's Terry from Plenary again. So in U.S. 36, Plenary is responsible for snow removal and ice removal. So it's our obligation to keep the road clear. We have 14 snow plows that we just bought that will be working on this. So our expectation is that you are not going to see or not – you're not going to have a condition where you won't be able to see the lane lines. But if it gets like that, it's easy to remember the right two lanes are the free lanes and the far left lane is the managed lane. So our intent is you'll be able to see the lines. If you couldn't see the lines, you should stay in the right two lanes if you want to travel for free.
All right. Thank you very much. We finally figured out a way on the system to pull the results up for Chris. I think before, here are the – her question was, we again asked how often you'll use it for a special event. 1% said every event. 9% said sometimes, depending on the event. 33% said rarely, but when traffic is really bad. 57% said they do not plan to use a toll, which actually is how the system is designed to work. If everyone was in a express lane, it wouldn't move. So we want to keep a reliable traffic flowing throughout the corridor. Let's go next to, I think we're going to call on Philip. Here you go. Go ahead with your question.
Is this me? Hi.
Yes.
I had a question concerning, again, back to the three people in the car. Do you guys know the percentage of cars that have three people or more? I'm currently driving with my wife every day using the HOV lane. There's two of us. When this changes in 2017, we will no longer ride the HOV lane. And I wonder how many people do you think are in the same situation as me that will not want to pay the $6 or $7 it costs to get from Westminster to Denver?
Thanks, Philip. This is Terry from Plenary. So the short answer is no, we don't know what percentage of the travelers are 3-plus. What we do know from data we have on I-25 is that about 63% of the people that use I-25 use it in the HOV mode. The trigger mechanism in 2017 is based on when traffic gets bad enough that we can't manage the travel speeds with HOV2. But we don't know the answer as we sit here today. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, next is Mary. What's your question tonight?
Hi, I have been charged having two or more people in my car because I've had on a transponder that I thought worked. It worked on 470. It's worked on 25. So I have to say that the communication was not clear. So now that I've purchased this manual switchable transponder for $15, I had to take the other one off for 470 and for my 25. So my question is this the only transponder that I'm going to need for the whole state, number one? And number two, because it is a manual transponder, if it's not correctly changed all the way when I'm carpooling, and in the midst of driving I realize, oh, I didn't change it back, are there infrared cameras, or is it just a human police officer who is going to say, oh, wait a minute, she has only one person and it's on HOV? And then the last question I have has to do with when you do have to go around into that emergency lane, because I know I had to do it the other day. I assume we need to call that in manually and say, hey, take that off my record because there was an emergency vehicle and I had to go into that lane? Or how will that be corrected?
Terry, you want to take Mary's questions?
Yeah, thanks, Mary. It's Terry again. So if I could remember them, Mary, number one is the switchable transponder that you have is the only one you will need. What's important, if you are driving as an HOV, make sure that you have it switched in the HOV. Or if you're a single occupant right now, make sure that it's in the toll position. If it's in the HOV position and the officer sees you as a single occupant, he will pull you over and could give you a ticket for an HOV violation. In the case where you are forced to drive in a managed lane because of an accident, if a first responder or a police officer forces traffic into the managed lane, they notify plenary, and plenary waives all the tolls from the time that they forced you into that lane until the time that they cleared the managed lanes. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Terry. Let's call upon John. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I was curious. Right now I have a switchable transponder. However, we have an electric vehicle, and I've been notified that we will soon get, I don't know what it's called, but the CDOT 1 of 2,000 stickers or passes or whatnot. And I travel into Denver every morning, and I have two questions. Will I get something different that replaces the switchable transponder once I'm accepted into that 1 of 2,000 hybrid CDOT program? And number two, is it indeed totally free once I have that, I'm in that program, to drive to Denver as a single occupant with an electric vehicle in the hybrid program?
Hey, John, this is Terry again. So, yeah, if you got accepted into the program, then you'll get a different transponder, and they give you an orange sticker that you have to place on the vehicle. So when you drive under, you're automatically what we call non-revenue. The system is still going to see you drive under, but it's going to throw out the transaction as soon as it sees you. And then the purpose of it's a red or an orange sticker that you put on your car, is that if the police officer sees you driving in the lane and he thinks that you're a violator, he sees the sticker and knows that you're one of the hybrids, and so he doesn't give you a ticket for HOV violation.
All right. Thank you, Terry. We have come to the end of our call tonight, and we sorry if we didn't get to your question, but you can still leave a comment or a message at the end of the call, so just stay on the line. On behalf of CDOT, HPTE, and our panelists. Thank you very much for participating, and have a great evening.